What up, y'all? What up? What up? Welcome to another episode of Pierre's Panic Room. You know how we do it. We always have the flyest, flashy guests, and today is no exception, man. I'm excited about having this young brother on my show, man. I just really dig the brother, and I'm really excited about sitting down and talking to him, man, because I've seen him from afar. I see him, we pass, we say what's up every once in a while, but now I'm about to sit down and holler at him for a second. So I know y'all clicking on for a reason. It ain't for me. It's for him. It's okay, though. I ain't going to hate on that. But before we start, you know how I got to do. I got to read some comments that y'all suckers wrote in my... in the comment section, so I gotta see what y'all talking about. This is what my crew picks up. And again, y'all are dirty sometimes. Let's see what this is right now. From the Isaiah Washington Show, Gary Butler writes, Comic Pierre is like Tom Arnold, aggressively twitchy. Really? That's what I'm doing? Really? Aggressively twitchy? Kick rock. You can laugh. I don't give a f. This is what it is, bro. Hey, whack. Okay. This is from the Carlos Miller Show. Comic Pierre, I had to be the first before the... this is what I wrote myself. Coming here, I had to be the first before that fake TK Kirkland. Yeah, I had to put my own in a comment before his puts in. I don't know if you ever get it, but we're gonna talk about if you get the fake TK Kirkland. All right, this is from the Marseille Martin from Blackish. Fam Bam writes, "Oh my gosh, Pierre, this is by far your best interview, and what a great talent this young queen possesses." Pierre, I laughed so much listening to the entire interview because of your petty behind. Okay. I love you so much with your crazy self. Well, I appreciate you liking it. Yes, I'm petty, and I'm going to talk about some petty shit. As petty as me, trust me. All right. Give it up for the one and only Mr. Tony Rock. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Whoa, 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 whoa. Damn. What's up, I got brother? You. I got you here,
what's
brother.
What's up, brother?
I got you.
What's
and you up? Know what? I'm appreciate it wasn't hard as some of them to get him on my show.
Really?
No, not saying that you know, but you're just a cool dude. I hit you up, you said, I'm gonna do it, bro.
Yeah, no, it was perfect timing because it was in the middle of the week, so, you know.
Oh, that's what it is? Okay.
On the road weekends, right. You know how it is, on the weekend, right. And I have the baby, so right. When the baby's in daycare, I'm like, my days are kind of busy with the baby.
But that's why I do it on Tuesday and Wednesday.
I'm like, bet, perfect.
I do it on Tuesday and Wednesday, but some people busy on Tuesday and Wednesday, too much to respond back in my email.
Avoiding you.
Oh,
we ain't bit that business.
I know that's right.
Especially at 8:30, like, spots don't start till about 9 o'clock.
Come on now, exactly. I'm like, y'all some dirty money. All right, here we go. So you're from the Bedford-Stuyvesant part of Brooklyn.
Bedford-Stuyvesant, right. The Day I Die, yes.
Only thing I really know about that spot is Biggie, unfortunately. You know,
Biggie? Right. Well, if you're going musically, we got Biggie, we got Kane, we got Fab. We got
Fab from there, okay.
Yeah, Fab's actually from, I'm from Decatur Street, Fab is from two blocks up.
Right.
So whenever I see him, he's from the Brevoit Projects. Whenever we see each other, I always go, yo, what up, Brevoit?
You grew up in the Projects?
No, he grew up in the Projects. Oh, I didn't grow up in the Projects.
Just one
he
block away.
Two blocks away.
Hell no, so you're two blocks from the Project. You think he grew up in the Project?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, the ball bounced on your side.
Listen, Bed-Stuy at that time was an entire project.
Oh,
wherever
was it?
You lived, it was basically the Projects.
I want, you know, I was kind of jealous, man, about New York. I just because I love hip hop,
right?
And some of the greats, you know, you can, the time you was about 10 to 12, 13 years old, it was fire.
It was the
Big Daddy Kane,
the culmination, like it was the pot was brewing.
MC Shan, all it was going on.
Yeah, I always say I'm a hip hop artist. Like,
no,
now I'll break it down. Listen, hip hop is a culture.
Okay,
the way you walk, talk, dress, interact, address each other. The dancing, the graffiti, that's all hip-hop.
Right, sure.
If you're born in that culture, then the way you walk, talk, dress, and interact is going to be inspired by hip-hop. So while my artistry is not hip-hop music, I am a hip-hop artist because I'm inspired by all of that.
And I believe that.
So I'm a hip-hop artist. I'm just not a hip-hop musician.
Right.
As you are.
Right. Well, there's a look. That's why I got to see. I knew how you were going to come in.
Come
I had to
on,
come
man.
My game in. Okay.
I got the new shades today. Bought them today. I was like, I'm definitely wearing these on the show. I hope they don't say take your shades off.
No, we appreciate it.
And
like
I was
that.
Like, well, Pierre always has shades on the show.
Damn,
so I'm
man.
Like,
well, what do you want to wear, man? All right, so let's talk about your family structure, because I'm going to get into some stuff.
Yes.
Your brothers and sisters. And you got
seven brothers, two sisters.
God, damn. Yeah. All from the mother and father?
Everybody keeps asking that. See, my mother raised two other kids in the neighborhood. So I took them in. Those are my brothers. So if you ask other siblings of mine, they'll say a different number.
Oh,
so if you ask, you know, Jordan, he might go, I'm the youngest of six.
Right.
And my sister will go, I'm the baby, the girl of five. It's like, no, I count everybody.
Right.
So I'm one of 10.
And Jordan does comedy. You do comedy. Your brother Chris does. Yes. You damn near next Wayans, ain't y'all? Damn, y'all.
No, we are own. I think we are own entity.
Is the family funny? The mother,
super,
father?
Super. Yo, I got uncles that miss their calling. I got aunts that's like will drop, put have you on the floor in tears right there.
Right.
Just,
wow.
It's just they got that thing.
Now, did you grow up with most of them together? You, Chris, Jordan, all y'all kind of grew up together at the same time.
Yeah, Jordan was a. Jordan, when my mother, after my father passed, my mother moved back to South Carolina, where she's originally from.
Okay.
And Jordan was a baby. So Jordan, I actually grew up with the least in the house.
Oh, makes sense.
So when he was maybe two or three, my mother went back to South Carolina. And then when he was 18 and graduated high school, he moved back to New York, moved in with me.
Okay.
And started doing stand-up.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so you grew up in, how old were you left South Carolina? How old were you?
No, I didn't leave South Carolina.
Oh, you never.
I was born in Brooklyn. My parents are from South Carolina.
Right.
They moved to New York.
Okay.
Met, married, had all these kids in Brooklyn.
Right, I get that.
When my father passed, my mother moved back to South Carolina. I was grown by this. I was 17. I was like, I'm not moving to South Carolina.
Right.
I got my own spot and was like,
Okay, cool. So how was, and we're talking about what?
We're talking about the crack epidemic. Yeah, we're talking about when they dropped the crack bomb on America, Bed-Stuy was ground zero.
Really?
I saw the finest girls turn into, you know, the worst people.
Right.
I saw kids that I went to school with and played ball with turn into drug dealers and get murdered and go to jail for very long. And
man,
I just was like, you know, it's not for
me. Was this after your mother went to South Carolina? You were about 17?
About the same time. Everything happened in that tornado hit around the same time.
Why didn't you get into that?
I just didn't. I can't see my people suffer like that. I wouldn't be able to. I'd be the worst drug dealer. Like to see you strung out and like, and I'm like, plus if I saw what you used to be, I'd be like, I can't contribute to this. I can't. I got a heart, man. I couldn't do it.
Growing up, when you were all in New York, did y'all do the thing of everybody doing a comedy show at home or the barbecue? Everybody doing stand up and shit like that.
My first seed, the very first seed of like, this might be something that I'm really into. Was my father is the oldest of 15 children. My grandparents had 15 kids. My father's the oldest.
Damn.
And my father's very family oriented. So every one of my siblings' birthdays and my birthday, my father would demand that all of his brothers and sisters bring all of their children to our house to celebrate our birthdays. That's why every year my birthday is the biggest event of the year to me. Because my father ingrained that into me, like, celebrate your life.
Birthday. Right.
Celebrate your life. Like, you're here for a reason. You're special. Mm. You know? So I remember being in the backyard watching like my uncles tell stories about when they grew up in South Carolina, just like fights they had and things they did.
Sure.
And I remember my uncles just standing there and everybody in awe, like.
Right, sure.
And I just thought like, wow, that's so cool to be able to stand up and just talk and have everybody's attention like
that. Right.
And they were super funny and, you know, poignant stories and heartfelt stories. Right. And I just remember being, damn, like, if I could do that, if I could just talk and have people engage like that. Then when I saw Richard Pryor for the first time.
Right.
And it was like, oh, he's doing the same thing, you know, Uncle Poochie was doing.
Right, sure.
And then my mother was like, no, that's a job. He does it for a living.
So you didn't get into comedy because of your brother?
No, way before my brother.
See,
I was like 6 years old, 7 years old.
Right.
Thinking Uncle Poochie is funny. I wish I could be funny like Uncle Poochie.
Wow.
And then I listened to a Richard Pryor album and a Bill Cosby album and a George Carlin album and Dick Gregory.
Come on now, it's good stuff.
And then I would go to school and tell their jokes at school and get in trouble because I was using foul language. And then my mother said, you can't do that. That's his job.
Right.
And then when I realized, like, oh, it's a job, that's when the seed was planted.
Okay.
But I'm not going to lie and say my brother wasn't a huge influence. When the guy in the room next to me started doing it, it made it real. So everybody else was just an ideal. I didn't know Richard Pryor. I never had a conversation with him. I didn't know Eddie Murphy or Bill Cosby. It was just guys I saw on TV, like, oh, that's that guy.
Sure.
But when the guy in the next room started doing stand-up, it was like, oh.
Right.
I can really do this. Like, this, I could touch this guy.
Right, because
I can pick his brain and I can follow him around. And
dope.
That's when it really started.
Okay. Because your brother started young, too. Like 18,
he started 17, 18. Yeah.
17, 18, right. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Did you start?
No, I started late. I was 25, 26.
Really? When you just started
that? I had regular jobs that I thought I'll just, you know. And then I kept shying away from it because I thought, like, well, he's already doing it. I don't want to follow my brother. And,
really?
But every damn near every day, he was like, no, you the funny one.
Right.
You should be up there. You should get, I'm telling you, like, if I'm doing this, I know you could do it.
Right.
And I would go with him to comedy clubs and sit in the back and just watch a whole show and see guys like, oh, that was pretty cool. And then, I kid you not, some of them might deny it, but some comics would get off stage and I go, hey, when you said that, you could have called it back and said it again.
Nice.
And they'd be like, who's this kid? Like, Chris's brother knows what he's talking about. So I was learning the structure from watching them. And then when I got on stage for the first time, it was like, yeah, that, you know, that bug, that energy that hit you. You know, the first time you want to be like,
sure,
fail or win, you're going to be like, this is the most excited I've ever been about something in my life.
Well, when you were 25 getting on stage, your brother was already a huge star.
Yeah, he was, big.
What kind of pressure was it? It was ridiculous, right? Come on now.
Yeah. I was doing the
Chris Rock brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing the open mics. I was doing the bringer shows. I was barking for an audience in Harlem.
Like, really?
You know, you bark outside. Right, comedy show, 5 minutes. Lady, hey,
that's
sweetheart.
Real. That's real.
I'll sell you
shit.
Two tickets for the price of one. Like, trying to solicit your own audience. I was doing that. And then they would bring me up, Tony Rock. Like, what? Wait, is that? And they would always, you know, the people, of course, they would always drop the bomb. Like, you know who this is? This is Chris Rock's brother. So all that pressure, but I had to go through it so that I wouldn't lose credibility with my peers. Wanted them to go, he didn't do it the right way.
Come on now.
Like a lot of siblings. The business did. They didn't do it the right way.
That's
no names named.
No, I get what you're saying.
They didn't do the
dirty work. Did you emulate your brother? Are you also, I don't know.
No, we different. We different. I'm not saying I'm a gangster, but I was more street than he was.
Come on now.
My comedy was more like in the street. I was like, you ever been on the subway? You get a fight on the subway and the dude be like, you know.
Right.
And he was more like, Ronald Reagan said today, you know.
And I'm going to get past this, but I respect you so much because you are your own man on stage, and you went. And I'm being honest with you, man, because you could have easily did the Chris, you know, my brother and rubbed the whole route. Yeah. But you know, he's a goat, and to be brother of a goat, like nigga, I don't want the pressure on that. Is like nigga, you ain't your brother, like nigga, let me be me, homie.
Right.
So did you went through a lot of that shit?
I still get that to this day. I get people at the shows when the show's over, like, hey man, how your brother doing? I always say which one?
Right. I love it.
Don't just act like he's the only one you care about. Right. Like, which brother?
Right.
How your brother? Which one?
And then how does Jordan feel about the shit?
Nah, Jordan,
he after all y'all.
Jordan Rock is my favorite comedian. My brother Chris didn't do as much for me, which is what I wanted.
Okay.
But fuck that. I'm going to do everything I can for Jordan. That's baby bro. Yeah. I love him to death. Yeah. Whatever I can do, I'm making phone calls.
You know, I saw him one time on some Netflix, something I saw him doing.
He had a show on Netflix.
Netflix. He did stand up, right? Yeah. And I was like, damn, that whole Rock family good.
Yeah.
Them niggas. At the point he wasn't, I think it was good as y'all, but I saw the light.
Right.
I saw the flicker. I'm like, that's motherfucking material,
motherfucker. Comics can see it. Comics can watch an open micer and go,
he got something there.
Yeah,
there's something there.
You can see it.
Yeah, because one thing I like too, the whole family is you do intelligent material and ain't fucking farting all night long and shit. You know, I'm like, damn, you know.
Well, it's not anymore. Yeah. When we started out, you know, you got to go through.
Oh, well, I catch you then. I caught you the better
out,
time.
It's like,
busting a nut, you know. I mean, nuts can I butt? You know, you like me, I fuck off dick, like motherfucking bullshit. Fuck out of here.
Everybody does it.
Right. So you started doing well in New York.
Yes, I was strategic, man. I was I'm gonna get in every comedy club in New York. I'm gonna be a paid regular at every comedy club in New York. And by the time I did that, it was like 15 comedy clubs in New York.
Okay.
I would make enough money in a weekend to pay my rent.
Damn, for the month.
So that was, rent's taken care of. Then it's, you know, groceries and, you know, if I had to do, remember you had to make tapes to send to comedy clubs to get booked back then.
You
had to get a stack of VHS tapes.
Come on now.
Record your sets and mail them to comedy clubs across the country to get stage time.
Right.
So I was doing that. I had to pay for headshots. But I had money. I was like, okay, cool. But when I started, I was like, I was way more disciplined. I don't want to say way more than I am now.
Right.
But I knew if it was going to work, if I'm coming behind my brother, it was going to have to be, this is all you do. You got to do this every day, all day. So I didn't go on any dates.
Right.
Damn. I wasn't chasing chicks. I wasn't hanging out in parties. I had literally left a life that I had behind to do this.
Right.
And I was working a regular job, like I'm saying, when I had a 9-to-5, I would get off on Friday. We in a car driving to Philly for the weekend. Yo, let's go to Baltimore. Right. Let's go to CIAA. Let's go to Howard Homecoming. Let's go to Hampton. Once I started stand-up, I was like, yo, y'all be cool.
You became a student. I love that.
I got to like these jokes. I gotta do this open mic.
Nice.
So if it was a date with me, it was like, yo, bounce around New York City with me from comedy club to comedy club.
Did you ever feel like, come on, bro, help me a little bit?
No.
Never. That's dope.
No. I've always been, like all my brothers will tell you, like I've always been a super duper confident dude. Always been, like,
fuck,
I can catch the football,
get it.
I can hit the baseball.
Right.
I can hit the jumper.
What job? What kind of job you have?
Everything, bro.
I
worked in warehouses. I worked
really?
At the Metropolitan Museum. I worked at AIG. I was a catering manager. Whatever was hiring, if I needed money, because I just needed to get money to sustain what I was getting.
Right,
I said, what I was doing.
Right.
I just want to get off on Friday and go out of town for the weekend.
So when did you said 25 is when you decided to be a comedian.
Yeah.
What was it before? Oh, because you didn't want to be like your brother. That's what the point was.
So it was like, I'm not trying to follow. It seemed like a really, like, a crapshoot. Like,
right,
how many people really, really make it, you know?
Oh, okay.
And then I thought, my parents were, my mother's a school teacher.
Okay.
My mother emphasized education our whole childhood. It was like, get a job, get a degree, you know, all that stuff. So I kind of felt like this is what I'm supposed to be doing because it's been ingrained in my head. Get out of school, get a job, white picket fence, all that. But everybody doesn't go that way. And once I realized, like, hey, I can still be successful and not follow her blueprint.
Right.
Or his.
I'm about to say, but yeah, he didn't follow the blueprint.
I can do my own thing, you know what I'm saying? Right.
Right, right.
And my older brother, and my, you know, my brother Andre, like, he left school and started his own trucking company. And mm-hmm. it was like, wait, we all kind of live in our own in our own space and doing what we want to do. So it was like, let's do this.
You remind me, you're so East Coast to me. You know, you're very East Coast. What, when did you come to L.A.? Did the agent bring you to L.A.?
Or no.
You
try? Here's the rule. You ready for the rule, ladies and gentlemen, watching this, young comedians? I was taught you never come to Los Angeles until Los Angeles invites you to Los Angeles. Because if you're the funny guy in Kentucky and one day you just go, you know what, I'm going to L.A. Mm-hmm. and nobody knows you're coming, you're just the guy out here trying to get on stage, trying to get spots, trying to get auditions, trying to get people to take notice.
That's so real.
But if you do that something in your city and get notice, that's and real. Then they say, hey man, you should come out to LA, and you know. So I stayed in New York as long as possible. I did the Montreal Comedy Festival.
There you go. Big festival.
I was one of the breakout, at the time it was big, it's not as big as
right, 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 right.
I was one of the breakout comics that year. I did New Faces. My class was me, Corey Holcomb, Mike Young,
ooh.
Sam Tripoli.
Ooh.
It's a lot of guys that's still working. We see each other in the airport, like, yo, where you at this weekend? Like, we getting it.
Right, right.
So I was in a good class, and I was like one of the breakout guys that year from New Faces.
Okay,
I did New Faces.
Sure.
And when I got off stage that night, the first night, one of the executives from Fox handed me her card and said, I need you in LA Monday morning. And that's when I came to LA. So I came out with a little bit of hype behind me, a little bit of a buzz,
right.
And they started sending me on auditions. I got in all three comedy clubs in LA in 3 days. I landed that Sunday. I auditioned for The Factory.
Laugh Factory.
Monday, I had to audition for The Improv.
Improv.
And Tuesday, I had to audition for The Comedy Store. And I got in all three in 3 nights.
Wow.
So now I was like, okay, I could actually stay here and make some money
because
I'm in. But I'm such a New Yorker.
Right.
Once the business was done, I'm like, I'm going back home. I'm not comfortable here. I don't know anybody. I went back home. So I came back out the next year for pilot season. Stayed for the whole pilot season. Didn't get anything. Went back home. Came out the next pilot season, booked the pilot. It didn't get picked up, but I made a shitload of money. You know, when you when you book a pilot, they check like $40,000, $50,000.
Sure.
Took that, went back home. Came back the next year, all of us.
And I can see that because you were too New York when I knew you. I saw them for this city.
Yeah.
You know, I could feel like you got to, again, now it's different, you know, but when you first came out.
I'm a Subway guy.
Yeah, I can tell.
I'm walk to the corner, get a juice, and stand on the corner and talk to people and get a newspaper, and I couldn't do none of that here.
Right.
Plus, I didn't know anybody. So I'm like, I want to go back home.
Right.
LA was never the goal. I never envisioned, like, and then I'm going to move to LA,
right.
and I'm going to get a house, and I'm going to be, that was never the goal.
Wow.
But God is like, you tell me what your goal is and I'll just laugh at it because I got a plan for you.
And it's not like you want to follow your brother's footsteps and say, I want to do this.
No. Well, at one point early on, SNL was a goal. SNL was a dream.
Okay, sure.
Because of Eddie.
Okay.
Because of Eddie. We watched SNL. Everybody in here would run to the TV
Come
every Saturday night and watch
Come
Eddie.
Come on now, yeah.
So that was a goal.
Right.
But then once I got a little older, I was like, okay, sketch comedy is like a young man game. The guys that are getting it are like 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm probably not going to get it. Plus, they probably not going to look at me, you know, give me a real chance to get it because of my brother. Oh, really? Is he really going to be, is lightning going to really strike twice? So I probably wouldn't get that nod that he got.
Okay.
So once I realized, like, I'm probably not going to get SNL, then that was like, the rest of that was like, okay, every goal going forward is going to be my goal.
Right, solo.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Not something that somebody else had that I was inspired by.
I respect that. All right, so you get here and you do All of Us. That's with Dwayne Martin and
Dwayne Martin, Lisa Ray,
Lisa
Bonnie
Ray.
Griffin. James Nordoliva, Terry J. Vaughn, Elise Neal.
Damn.
Everybody in the cast had been on something before
that. Right.
Everybody in the cast was like, I saw him in this, I saw her in that.
Right.
I even saw the little baby in Daddy Daycare. I was the only motherfucker in the whole cast that had never been on anything.
Right.
So I was like, oh shit, this is really real.
How many seasons y'all do that?
Three?
Four seasons.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what I heard.
Please do.
I had a friend of mine that was a writer on the show, or bump a little young writer.
It might be good, it might be bad. Go.
He said, they had to take you niggas off the lot, damn it, put it to another fucking place because y'all was too rowdy. Is he lying on? He said them niggas could not even work on the same lot. They had to move y'all to another section to do your show.
They moved us.
See? I heard.
They moved us to a different lot every season.
Oh, damn.
Season one, we were CBS Radford.
Right.
Then I get the phone call like, once the season's over, I'm back in New York.
Okay.
I'm on the road and I'm in New York. And I get a phone call, hey, you guys got picked up for season two. I come back to LA for season two. You guys are at Universal.
See?
Season wraps, I go on tour, come back with season three. You guys are at Warner Brothers. I'm like, damn, they moved us every year.
They had to. Y'all niggas was rowdy on that shit. The friend of mine, he was kind of more square brother and shit. He's like, oh my God, them niggas are crazy on over there and shit.
I'm like, season one, we was really off the chain. Season one, we would race the golf carts. You know, the golf carts
Won
the lot.
Sure.
And one time I almost hit Bernie Mac's wife. May he rest in peace. Right. But Bernie Mac taped on the same lot. And I'm racing the golf cart around the lot and turn the corner. And his wife is like walking and I almost hit her. And Bernie was straight Chicago. If you would have hit my wife, motherfucker would have been on board. I don't know who he is. I'd have knocked your motherfucking head up.
Right.
I was like, I was wrong.
They said, let's get these Negroes to another place, another set.
They moved us every season. Yeah.
Wow.
Still one of the highlights of my career. Yes. Still one of the highlights of my career.
The show or getting moved?
No, the show.
Oh, shit.
Auditioning for it, getting the part,
working
with that cast. Right. It was definitely a blessing.
Yeah, no, you did. I'm out here. I'm trying to get my shit too. I'm like, damn, this boy just come out here and get it right away. Like,
yeah,
damn.
It was sweet.
Of course, you know, I'm a hater. I'm thinking Chris got you the shilling.
No,
Chris Rotten Rubber. I don't know if he got this shit. Chris Rotten Rubber and shit. You know how that is. But no, that's dope. Okay, so after that, because you got a lot of stuff, and you got a lot of stuff with white folks.
After All of Us?
That was the last black thing you did, because you got some white shows.
I hosted Apollo.
Okay, I meant acting like TV show wise.
Okay, yeah. I did Three Can Play That Game. That was black as shit. We shot that in Atlanta.
Three Can Play? Okay. I thought it was a movie?
Yeah.
It was a movie.
Will Packer did that.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. So you hosted Apollo.
I hosted Apollo.
That's big.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that, but I'm saying
they had called it Apollo Live. Remember they brought it back and called it Apollo Live. I did two seasons of that.
And that would be after who? Who was hosting it before? Rudy Rush?
Yeah, it was after Rudy. Might have been after Rudy.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know how that happened? Like, I'm telling you, bro, like every good thing in my career has happened from me staying on stage. That's why, another reason why I'm on stage a lot. Like, you go to the Laugh Factory given night.
I see you.
Tuesday night, 11 o'clock, I'm sitting up in that motherfucker. Right. It ain't nobody else that has this many TV credits and this IMDb or whatever the fuck.
On a Tuesday
like
night.
Like me, sitting in the club on Tuesday night. You know why? Most of the good shit that has happened in my career has happened from me just staying on stage.
I like that. That's real.
I was at the Laugh Factory one night. Jamie Foxx walks in with King.
Marcus King.
Mm-hmm. And they sit upstairs. I don't even know they in the room. And I go on stage and somebody says something in the room and I'm doing crowd work. I'm just being funny with what's going on in the room. And Jamie calls me the next day and is like, yo, come to my house. I'm going to talk to you about something. And I'm like, all right, well, send me the address. This is funny. Jamie's like, send me the address. Jamie goes, you never been to my house?
I know that's right. Everybody
like, no.
For the party.
He's like, all the parties I throw and all the stuff I do at the house, you never been to my house? I'm like, no. How come you never been to my house? I say, because I'm a Brooklyn nigga. We don't go to nobody's house unless that man invite me to the house.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going because somebody else said, let's go to your house, because now I'm a nigga walking around your house that you don't know is there. Every major heavyweight fight, everybody's like, let's go to Eddie Murphy's house. Right. I'm like, yeah, when Eddie called me, I'll go.
Right.
I'm not walking around Eddie Murphy's house and he like, who the fuck invited this dude?
You might even me so much. Yeah, like, I'm not.
And that's my gift and my curse. My gift and my curse is I don't care what nobody else is doing. That's my gift.
Right.
I don't care what nobody else is doing.
Right.
I'm not caught up in what you're doing. I'm not trying to do what you're doing just because it's hot for you. My curse is I don't care what anybody else is doing. I should be aware of what's going on around me with my peers and my contemporaries because it might be something that I could really benefit from.
But you know, it's funny. I have that same attitude, but it's, you arrogant, you standoffish. I'm like, no.
I'm both of those.
Right. Well, I love it.
I'm both of those.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, just if you invite me, I come.
Yeah, so
I don't want to. You got to invite me.
He invited me to the house. I go to the house and he's like, yo, I'm bringing Apollo back. And I'm sitting in this motherfucker house like, Jamie Foxx got an Oscar. Why would he host Apollo?
Host, how you funny.
And he's like, yeah, so, you know, we're going to bring it back. We're going to call it Apollo Live. And I'm like, why would he host this?
Right.
That don't even seem like a lateral move for Jamie Foxx.
Right, sure.
And he goes, yeah, so, and I figured since you a New Yorker, you know, and I'm like, oh, wait, I'm going to host it?
Right.
And he's like, yeah. Gave me the job because he saw me on stage.
Right.
That's why I stay in the comedy clubs.
No, I like that. You know, I feel like with us, it's almost like that. If you're on stage, but you could be somewhere at a party sometimes and shit'll pop off. Be like, yo, I'm trying to reach you. I want you my video, my movie, where you been at? Like,
that's why it's my curse. Because movie premieres, I'm like, man.
If I ain't invited,
Ain't nobody send me no invite. Like I see people on IG like, yo, you going? I'm like, ain't nobody call me, man.
Right.
But like you said, I could have been walking, I could have walked right past, you know, a director. Yeah, it's like, oh shit. I went to see my brother at the Forum a couple months ago. And Kenya Barris walked in. And I really fuck with Kenya Barris. He does really, really great like quality stuff.
No, dope.
And I would see him all the time at Clippers games. And we would always just be like, you know, he was like a couple seats away from me. Like, yo, what up, boy? What's good? Never bothered him. Just, yo, what's up? And I saw him at the Forum for my brother's show. And he was like, yo, what are you working on? And I'm like, oh, I got a script that's circulating right now. And it's doing really well. It's getting some traction. And I'm about to shoot my special. And he was like, oh, all right. Well, let me know what's going on with you, man. Like, keep me abreast of what's going on. Excuse me. And I was like, yeah, I need to stop being so standoffish. Like,
right.
Because I'm probably really missing out on a lot of opportunities.
But a lot of times, the niggas say that. They don't mean it.
True.
Here.
True. Like, that's the thing. I don't like the fakeness.
Come on now. You asked me to call you. I called
that's
you.
That's why it's the gift and the curse. And that's why when you said Wednesday 8:30,
right.
Bet, I'm there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. No. That's why I respect you came and shit. That's what people have told me, and then they flake that little don't. I'm like,
nah, I got
don't
you.
Answer. I'm
got
like, you. Why you do that, bro? You ain't got to do that.
Plus, like, I don't even know if you remember this, but I, like, we like you said, we've always seen each other in passing.
In passing.
But remember this time we saw each other at the fight in Ontario?
Of course,
And I was
yeah.
Pierre's a cool motherfucker, man. I didn't know you was in the boxing. Like, I'm
on,
a huge
time.
Fan.
Big time, bro.
And we started talking, come and on, you man. Was like saying names I was saying. I'm like, oh, he fuck with boxing like I do. So I was like, that's what's up, man. I fuck with Pierre.
Nigga.
Okay. Okay.
Come on, son.
Okay.
You got me fucked up, man.
I have to put some pictures of me and I just went to what's the name? Dallas and hung out with Derek James.
Yo, I met Derek James a couple of months ago.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. I went to the gym. He's doing Joshua. He's training Joshua right now.
Yo.
I saw Spence. I saw Frank Martin. All of them I hung out with.
Hold up. So come I'm on, in son. Houston, Texas. We do the show in Houston, Texas.
There you go.
And we go to the after party and Derek James is there. And I'm like, hey, yo, bro, listen. I know we in a party. I know it's bad chicks walking around.
Okay.
I know you probably don't want to talk right now, but like, I got some questions about the fight with Errol and Crawford.
All right, maybe talk to
him. And he said, what's up, Rock? Right. So I was impressed. He knew who
I was. Right, come on now.
What's up, Rock? And I go, yo, why are they not making this fight, bro? Like, who, are y'all flaking? Are they flaking? Like, tell me what's really going on.
He told me.
And he told me about the percentages and all that stuff. And then we exchanged numbers. And he'll hit me every once in a while. Like, just checking on you. If you're in Dallas, come through the gym.
Like I showed you, hit me yesterday.
Yeah, I fuck with Derek James.
Shit, man. I fuck with a lot of, me and Porter, Sean Porter, we went to Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. Yeah, I sat with him and for like an hour before I started this podcast. I didn't know how to interview people. I didn't know how to go on.
Right.
Man, one night we was in a house. We rented a house. His brother, father rented a house. We talked for like 45 minutes. I asked him little questions like, you ever had to pee while you was fighting, nigga? You know what I'm saying? Like, what would you do if you had to pee, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, just put more water on you and shit in the ring and shit, just piss like a motherfucker. I had all kind of questions. He's like, damn, I never had anybody do that. I said, have you ever been scared before you was walking into the ring, like actually fearing somebody?
Right.
But I love boxing. I'm a big, I box. Yeah. I actually box.
I used to box for years.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I used to box.
It's funny you say that, because I boxed a couple celebrities. I boxed Heavy D. I
know, really?
Well, it's funny that I told AJ Johnson, Heavy D, who else I boxed? David Allen Greer, and someone said, nigga, you boxed everybody out of shape, nigga. I said, damn. I boxed who was in the ring with me, wanted to come to me. But every city I go to, I go to a boxing gym.
Yeah.
I go to a boxing gym. I got one here now. I was in with, just in Maryland, D.C., Jared Hurd, you know, got
of
fucked
course.
Up. Yeah,
of
Jared course. Got shit fucked up. Yeah. But that's my man. Shout out to Jared Hurd.
One of the best fights I ever saw. J-Rock
and
Jared Hurd.
Yeah.
That was one of the best displays of boxing. From J-Rock, that was one of the best boxing displays I've ever saw.
You know boxing.
Because J Hurd had the power,
but
he's just flat footed. He can't really get off unless he's standing there and start. And J-Rock just kept him moving.
Come on, man.
I remember that fight vividly. I was like, that's one of the best.
I want to tell
other than Roy Jones, James Ruiz. Remember that fight? When Roy Jones went up to heavyweight and fought
James
Ruiz?
That was
the best boxing display I ever saw in my life.
Really?
Roy Jones fought the perfect fight that night. That's the best display of boxing skills.
Right. Okay.
Not power and just overcoming, like overpowering somebody.
Okay.
The skill, the sweet science, that's the best display I ever saw in my life.
So we talking boxing, okay, Crawford Spence.
I'm waiting for it to happen.
But no, what you think?
I want to go Spence because now Derek James.
I know.
Like, I don't want this guy to lose.
I like that.
But I really want to, it's going to be a great fight. It's going to be a great fight. And last weekend, I saw the Benavidez Plant.
Yeah.
And I really discredited Caleb Plant. I didn't think.
Really?
How? You know why? Because I thought Benavidez was just this monster that was going to walk through him.
Okay.
But when you watched the fight, you saw how much of a game plan Caleb Plant put together to fight this guy. You saw that he used his skill set and the game plan worked. Yeah. Who else does that? Who else does that?
What?
Money May. Yeah, Money made.
Hold on.
Bop, grab.
Hold on. When you guess who texted me that? Derek James, he's there. Yo. Who else do that?
Bip, grab.
Money man.
Push him away, walk behind the ref, put the ref in front of him, get off, get grab. Come on, that's his whole style.
I don't know.
Don't get me wrong, he'll drop. Right. I mean, he drops some cats when he's supposed to.
Right.
But he does that a lot.
I just didn't like Kelly Plant holding so much. I was like, come on, son.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I felt like a little.
It got good at the end, though. It got real good at the end.
Yeah. I thought he did better against Canelo, Kelly Plant, you know, when he fought Canelo.
He couldn't hit Canelo. I didn't know Canelo was so, like, really, invasive. Huh?
Yeah. But okay, so you're going with...
So now I think Canelo, after seeing this fight, I think Canelo could beat Benavidez. And I didn't think that to begin with.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, Canelo could get off, bop, and move.
But the monster coming down for you.
Right, but he
coming
he
down
get,
for you.
You saw the first six rounds of this fight, he couldn't get off until Caleb Plant stopped. He couldn't get off. He's swinging, over there. Remember Caleb Plant kept doing this. He kept going like, where you going to punch at? Because he was gone. And Canelo can do that better than Caleb Plant.
Well, I think, okay, let me ask you, because shout out to my nigga Spence. I like Spence. I don't know Crawford, but I was kind of leaning to Crawford at first.
Yeah.
Then I met Spence, we talked, and I talked to Derek James,
right,
who trains Spence. So I started thinking, okay, I'm hearing what you're saying, because I think Crawford's a hell of a boxer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He might lose the first six fights.
The fight against Sean Porter?
Six rounds. But after that, I was there. Oh, were you there? I was there.
Bomac, that's his ace. That's Crawford's whole, that's what separates him from everybody else in the division.
Okay.
Bomac.
Okay, I talked to Sean Porter, who fought both of them. I said, Porter, talk to me, bro. Who has an advantage? He went with Crawford. He said, because Crawford knows how to shorten the distance.
Right.
He said, pretty soon he's up on you.
Right.
He said, I don't know how it worked, but he was bringing it down, giving the distance. And by the time, of course, the later rounds, he was on him and shit.
Plus,
too late.
They had a great game plan, because you know how Sean Porter likes to just jump in.
Come on.
And you saw the fight. You said you was there?
I was there.
It was like this. Terrence Crawford standing here. Bomac said, yo, soon as he rush in, body.
Body.
Mm. Soon as he run in, let him jump into a body blow. Mm-hmm. So it'll hurt even more. Mm-hmm. If you run into it, boom.
Body.
Every time, he didn't go head hunting.
Right.
Every time Sean Porter came lunging in, he would just step back, plant his feet, boom, body.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's going to take a toll in a minute. And as soon as I said it, like a round later, he was on the ground.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I'm siding with Spence right now. I just hope I have
that weekend off so I can be there.
Are you going?
I would love to go.
I wonder if it's going
to
be.
I would love to go.
Well, that's a big fight coming up.
I had tickets. Man, I had second row tickets for Charlo. Tim Su.
And then
Charlo broke his hand.
Right.
Postponed the fight. I was
I
hit Derek James like, yo, I got tickets for the fight, fam. So, well, if you come in early, come to the gym.
Right.
I'm like, yo, this dude's cool as shit.
One more fight, quick. Tank or Garcia?
Tank gonna wash Garcia. Tank on three rounds. Three rounds.
Yeah.
Garcia can't run that long.
Right.
He don't have the power.
He don't have the chin. Yeah, he don't have the chin.
Three rounds. Look, can't run. Don't have the power, don't have the chin. Three rounds.
I think it's going to go less than five. But I just feel like Garcia has that one-hitter quitter, though. And he's kind of hard now.
Everybody got a one-hitter quitter.
Every
human being has but if they catch you.
Right.
Yeah, but what if they don't catch you?
Right.
Then you're in the ring with a monster.
Yeah. But he's shorted, too.
Three rounds.
All right. You hear what Tony said?
Three rounds.
We got Tank in three. I fuck with Tank because he's hip-hop. He's the next Mayweather, right? Mayweather, he brings I went to a couple of his fights and shit. Straight hood niggas and gangsters.
Oh, yeah.
Mint, coat, diamond rings, all of his there, motherfucker.
Oh, Devin Haney. You want niggas at a fight? Devin Haney.
Really?
Devin Haney from the Bay? Them fucking ignorant-ass Bay niggas? Stepping on your foot. Hey, baby. Like, come on, fam. Can you just not watch the fight? Like,
Right.
I'm sitting there like, they go, yeah, you there, boy? What? I'm like, come on, man. Right. Like, it's a fight going on.
But Bay over Baltimore? Baltimore.
No, listen, Baltimore's on the planet. Baltimore's
why do we all say that?
Come on, bro.
Everybody I talk to about them, it is. Baltimore is not in Maryland. It's its own state.
it's New York.
I love them.
It's New York,
right.
New Jersey,
right.
Philly, Delaware,
Baltimore.
A different planet,
okay, right.
D.C.
Right, no, you're right about that. Because I'm Baltimore.
I was born in Baltimore one time. I came on stage and said, yo, I'm from New York. We call New York the Big Apple.
Right.
Virginia's for lovers and D.C.'s Chocolate City. What's Baltimore? The girl said, we got crabs.
Right, that's true. That's
I'm like, well, I'm not fucking nothing here this weekend.
Right. I think it's just so cool. You're just so different. Like your swag is just straight East Coast, man. And to be here, but I like the way you circumvent. You still you. I watch your page. I see you now. You still you, man.
I don't know how to be any other way. Like and it sounds weird, but I don't know how to be any other way. Like I'm still in the clubs. I'm still like,
right.
Yeah, I walk. I'm at the comedy store. I walk to the factory. Like you walking? I'm like, bro, this is how. I don't know how to not be this way. Like.
Yeah. No. It's definitely a total different thing. Do you feel the difference between you and your brother? Because expect you know your brother. Because your brother said something. I had something funny to say. What did I say? He said, "Oh, your brother chooses silence. Your ass chooses violence."
Pretty much.
You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between y'all two.
Pretty much.
Your brother would choose some silence.
He texts me. We're gonna get to it at some point. But right. The night that shit happened, he texts me. Hey man, I know you somewhere plotting revenge. Be cool.
I can.
And yeah. I was like, all right. Big bro said, be cool.
Because your tirade the night after on stage went viral.
Dude, you know what's crazy? I was in Raleigh, North Carolina.
That was
and I'm
North
sitting. Carolina. I'm sitting backstage, and that was spontaneous.
I can feel that.
I'm sitting backstage, and Samoa was about to go on stage. Samoa was hosting, and she said, hey, I just want to check on you. Like that was some crazy shit. Are you okay? Are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And she's like. I just want to make sure, because, you know, we don't talk a lot backstage, but I just want to make sure you're good.
Good.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. She's like, how your brother? I'm like, he fine. And when she said it, this shit just, like, built up in me again. I was already calm, but when she said it, I was like, God damn, that motherfucker.
Right, sure.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Rock. And I'm like, fuck that. Listen, let me tell you something right now. And then when I got upstairs, I said, yo, you did that shit. Right. I ain't do that. You did that.
Wow. That was such a beautiful, real moment too, man. And let me tell you, you know, you had people in the comments. I totally agree with him. I ain't mad at him. Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, you make a couple of people, leave it alone.
No, I get.
The shit was like.
He's just doing that for clout. Like,
no, come on
my
now.
Brother?
Come on, man. That was now, I could feel that pain.
Dude,
I felt that, and I was okay with you saying it, brother, up there. You know, damn that, man. You know, we're human beings, motherfucker. We ain't got to bottle this shit up all the time.
Right.
In fact, you know, we're some rappers or some singers, but comedians are one of the front lines of. Let me tell you how it is out here. You know what I'm saying?
And if we can't do that, then everybody's gonna suffer.
Right. Right.
If we can't say what the problem is with this thing or that thing, and try to make you laugh about it, but also make you see. That this is flawed, the system,
right?
The political system, the jail system, the school system. We can't make you laugh about it, but also see that it's flawed.
Right.
Then everybody gonna suffer if we can't bring it to your attention.
And here's the thing: you came up with me. Well, you came up before cancel culture.
Right.
Now it's cancel. So you know how it was when you could open your mouth and say the F word, F bomb, all kinds of. You know, Eddie Murphy's edit. You know.
Well, we do know that cancel culture is not a real thing, right?
What does that mean?
Who's been canceled? Cancel culture is not a real thing. Whoever said they was being canceled.
Griffin, the girl Griffin?
Who's the girl Griffin?
With the head, Kathy Griffin, Roseanne Barr.
That bitch is working right now somewhere.
But she ain't working the same level she was.
Show. No, everybody that you said is being canceled, you've seen more of them since they said they was being canceled than you did before that.
Okay.
Right? And if they so canceled, why are people still reporting on what they're doing? Kanye's canceled, but then everybody still reports, oh, we saw Kanye in the restaurant last night.
No, Kanye
got a new girlfriend. Kanye about to get married. I thought he was canceled. Why y'all still care about what he's doing?
Right.
That ain't how canceling works.
Right.
When they cancel your cable, the shit don't come on no more.
I know that's right.
Right? That's canceled.
Right.
This is fake. Know what it is?
What is it?
Can I say it?
Say it. Ready?
It's selective outrage.
Come on now.
That's what it is.
That's one of the best titles I've
ever
heard.
You want to be mad about something when you want to be mad about it. When it affects other people, you don't give a fuck about it. When it affect black people, you like this. If you white, all right, well, they got to deal with that shit. When it affect you, somebody should do something. Selective outrage.
Right, that's real. That's one of the dopest titles I've ever heard.
It
encompasses so much, you know what I'm saying?
It
encompasses.
Because now you see it so much, you go, oh, that's what, oh shit, that's selective outrage.
Right.
Wait, that's selective outrage. Right. Wait, that's, yeah.
Are you happy you stay controlled during that whole period with your brother and stuff? That were you at, you know?
No, I'm happy that you know, big bro the leader, man. So he say it, that's what it is.
Okay.
Like, that's big bro.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
I'm happy that a lot of people have championed him for being so, for keeping his composure on that stage. Because a lot of people, now here's the thing. Black people know what that moment meant to us in the industry.
Okay.
It was the first year they ever let black people produce the whole Oscars.
Yep. Will Packer, shout out.
It was my brother gets slapped by the guy that's about to win his first Oscar. That shit could have went left for us, the whole industry.
Sure.
That shit could have went left for us as far as production, direction, parts, whatever. So I appreciate the fact that people championed my brother. Like, yo,
come
man.
Come on now.
You saw the bigger picture. You kept
cool.
It meant a lot.
Come on now.
I don't like the fact that nobody there, because it was a black production, didn't check on him, like, didn't help him out. Like, nobody, you saw when with the commercial, Samuel L. and Denzel were over right. talking to Will, like, yo, bro, come on, man. But nobody was like, yo, man, you okay?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. People take sides, and you see this all the time. I see it all the time. People take sides with who's bigger.
I was going to say, is that what you think happened?
People take sides.
But oh, you think your brother, because your brother handled it well, better than this fool. Like, fool, you fucked up. Man, I'm glad you handled it well. What's wrong with you? You don't think it was that kind of situation? I'm just asking.
I don't know. I would have to think about that. But I think,
you know what I'm saying?
I've seen it too many times where people are torn between two sides, and they always go to the side that's, man, you know.
But had your brother fell out and fell on the ground, they'd have been all on him. Like, bro, you all right? Your brother had like a G. And they was like, okay, you got it handled over here. Let's handle this fool right here. I don't know.
I didn't look at it that way. I didn't look at it that way. I just saw two people consoling a grown man who nothing happened to.
Right, sure.
And I knew that it was a black production, and nobody from backstage with a headset on was like, yo, are you good? Like,
you're right.
Let's take a second. Like, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's what I saw.
Sure.
You know what I don't like? I didn't like when people would say stuff like, if it was me, I would, if it was me. First of all,
everybody got if it was me. Everybody,
it reminds me of
the whole world looks like that. If it was me.
Well, remember when unfortunately the 9/11 the planes went down? You know they held them hostage with cutter. What do you call it? Box cutters.
Yeah.
Nigga, today that would never happen. At that time, we didn't know people in the plane don't know.
Right.
I guess you're going to land a plane. You know, these foreign with a box cutter. Today, all hell would break loose. It's easier to say what you would have done after you see it.
Yeah.
If you was in the middle of an Oscar, I would have whooped them. Get the fuck. You don't know. It's shocking to everybody. Like, hold up, what the fuck?
Right, and the fact
that your brother stood there like a G and said, man, what the? And made a joke out of it. You know, instead of taking it to another level and fighting up there and wrestling.
Yeah.
What would that have been looking like?
He was so happy to be a presenter. He was like, you know what? I can't fuck this gig up. Like,
damn,
I still got to present this award.
And he did.
I'm happy to be at the Oscars. I got dressed. I'm like, I ain't fucking this up.
Yeah.
I still got an award to present.
Yeah. No, I didn't like it. I'm glad, you know, as comics should have stood up for him. But whatever.
Okay, what was I happy about? What was I upset about? You know what was most shocking to me?
Mm-mm.
To see so many comics take the other side.
Ooh.
Yeah, you can't be talking about people's wives.
Right.
So you really want to paint yourself in that corner as a comedian?
Now.
You really want to paint yourself in that corner like, we can't say this? Because you really, that's what you're doing. You got the paintbrush and you're going backwards. Like, yeah, you can't be talking about people's wives.
Right.
And you can't be talking. And then you stand there like, oh shit, I'm in the corner.
Right.
So now, I want to see your set going forward.
Come on.
Since you can't talk about
certain things.
I want to go to certain comic shows and sit in the back like, oh, but you can talk about that?
Right, come on.
Wait, so you can talk about that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Handicap, what?
Wait, dark skin, black skin, talk about that, right?
Yellow people, white people, yeah.
I was shocked that comics painted themselves in the corner like that.
Really?
But then it was like, you got to look at the source. Like, some of them ain't good comics anyway, so they don't know no better.
When you see those names and stuff, did you feel different now about them? And saying, okay, I take it back. I remember.
No.
Oh, you ain't petty like me? I'm petty.
I'm petty, but Russell told me, Russell Simmons, drop name, drop.
No, that's good. You're supposed to do that.
Okay, plug. Yeah, Russell, yeah. Russell Simmons told me sometime. So sometimes people, they ain't racist, they ain't mean, they just ignorant.
Mm.
They just don't know. Ignorant means you just don't know.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know what? I see it every day. I'm like, you know what? That wasn't racism. That was ignorance. So that wasn't anger. That was ignorance. And those comics, I go, they just ignorant. Because
mm-hmm.
They can't know that this is a good thing to say, being that they have the same job.
Wow. Yeah. No. That's hot. I like that. That's good. From Russell, you know. Yeah. Tell nigga come back to America. It's good. We good, nigga. Okay. I believe you, nigga. Let's get past this.
Shout out Russell Simmons.
Yeah. Russell did me really well back in the day.
Oh my God.
Took care of me big time.
Did
more
for my career in five years than anybody.
Yeah. I remember he told me one time, he said, go to Fat Farm. It's in New York.
By the
bricks and shit. Soho, right. He said,
by the bricks, you mean the cobblestone streets?
Cobblestone, yeah. He said, go in the store, whatever you want, up to $1,000, you can have it. I was like, what? So I went down there, and I was getting at the price
got. You got like three shirts.
No. I didn't do that.
You got the
discount, whatever whatever. I didn't get the $400. If it cost him $150, and he put $400, I got it for $150.
Okay.
Nigga, I had so much shit from Fat Farm, man, for so many years, man. Just piled up full of shit.
Nice.
I went about two or three times, man. Yeah, I did a little show called Russell Simmons One World Music Beat one time.
I remember that.
Remember that? Yeah. I was something on it. I don't know what
I remember
on.
That, yeah.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah. So, that's dope. Is there something that you haven't done that you really want to do, man? Is it in your mind?
I want to tour with my brother.
Okay.
I want to do a dramatic movie with my brother.
Hold on, let's go to the tour. Why can't that be done easily or something? How's that working?
I just think it's like, you know, he's on the East Coast, I'm probably working on the West Coast. He's out of the country, I'm in Hawaii,
But it's coming, it's just a time at your birthday, at a party or something, your birthday party, you can say, yo, bro, let's do something next year.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, so this is probably new. Does he know you want to do
this? Oh, no, he knows. Everybody.
Oh, okay, he knows. Okay, go ahead.
Right. He did the Barclays this summer, and he was like, yo, it's Brooklyn, it's the Barclays. So I was like, yo, I don't care. He did Madison Square Garden, him and Kevin Hart. They did the Rock Hart Tour, and they did Madison Square Garden. They did Newark. They did Long Island. They did the Barclays. And I got there the first night, and I said, yo, I don't give a fuck about none of these venues. Except the Barclays. I need that Barclays. And that Monday, he called me like, yo, you on the show tonight?
So nice.
It was me, Kev, Joey Wells, me, my brother, Kev. Yeah.
Now, have you done a place that big before?
Yeah.
Oh, you have done it? Okay, that's dope. Yeah. That's dope. Wow, that's cool. Okay, you said now a dramatic part. Okay, dramatic.
Yeah, I want to do something dramatic. Just something to like really show people that we really belong here. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Like. You would think like, damn, I would never see him in that role. Like,
right. Because it went on dramatic was what, Pookie, the crackhead thing? Was that the only thing?
Pookie and Nurse Betty.
Okay, I didn't see that
Nurse
movie.
Betty.
Okay,
you're dramatic in that. Okay. Yeah.
Have you done anything dramatic?
Yeah, I did a movie called The Last Laugh.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to, they changed the name to... something weird
about a comedian about comedians
yeah it was going a comedian through that got out of got out of rehab and started to get it all back and then I did a play that they recorded like a show, and it was called Redemption of a Dog.
Me and
Keith Robinson.
Wow, shout out to Keith Robinson.
That's the homie, that's my dude right there.
That's
it was dramatic. It was like,
really?
I had to really find the emotions in that one.
That's interesting. You got me thinking. Yeah.
Check those out, y'all.
Because I write scripts all the time, you know. But I can see. Yeah.
I got a super dope script circulating right now.
Really?
I wrote this movie like 10 years ago. Let my friends read it. Okay, kind of cool. But I don't like this. Rewrote it again like 2 years after that. Mm-hmm. Rewrote it again 2 years after that. Let a few people read it. Got notes. The pandemic hit, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna sit in the house this whole pandemic and rewrite this thing. And we wrote it from a movie to a episodic. Now it's 7 episodes.
Wow, okay.
Yo, I let a couple people read it.
Is it dramatic or comedy?
It's dramedy.
When Kevin Hart did that thing with Wesley Snipes, was that dramedy or that's...
That shit was good.
I know it was.
That shit was really good.
Really?
It was dramedy.
That was, so like that. Yeah. So it's got a little heavy, but got a little...
Heavy in spaces, comedy in spaces, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people sleep on stand-up comics as dramatic actors.
No, we know.
Yeah, I know we know.
Yeah, if you sleeping, that's on you. We know.
Oh, damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, like comics really. Robin Williams was one of the best dramatic actors ever.
But there's so many of them. Jamie Foxx. So many of them. You know what I'm saying? They always think that, you know, they try to pigeonhole us and just being funny and stuff like that. You know, I get a lot of props and I appreciate it for BAPS. And at the end, I was all sad and all that. Kind of. I'm like, hell yeah, that's one shout out to Halle Berry, because if I'm next to a good actor, actress,
it brings that out to me too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't be half-assed
in
the shit.
Competition sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I got auditions, man. I'll tell you something. I ain't gonna mention no names, but I used to hate when auditions. You go in there. You're reading, it's heavy, or it could be something funny, whatever it is. Say it's heavy. Like, I'm going to kill your ass. And the cast director's like, play another character. I'll kill you too. He's like, bitch, I will wore your ass out. I'll call my motherfucking father and kill your ass. I'm like, bitch, this is hard. But like, you know, he's like, okay, thank you so much. Put your headshot down. So when I've casted stuff, I've always put an actor. Mm-hmm. You know, some regular actor there to go against you. So I'm not gonna put you in a bad position.
And you know, when you self tape, you're supposed to do that too. If you self tape, you get somebody that can really read to read with you, so you get the energy from them.
Right. I don't like self taping, man.
I like it.
You know, I like going in the rooms, man.
I mean, I could do either one, but since the pandemic and everything was self tape,
then
I kind of started getting that. Okay, you read really, like, you got to really be this character, so I can really be this character. And that was it started working for me.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. And also, you can do many tapes you want and take some
until
you're the right one.
Yeah.
All right, take 49. I'm going to get one of these right now.
You take 49, but every take you go, take one.
That's funny.
Take one. Shit. Take one. So they go, oh, you did it.
Your beard start growing in. Take one. I was like, hell no.
The sun was here. Now the sun is here.
Right.
The sun is here. Take one.
Right. Well, I have learned this, though. Once I do it, I send it in, and I go about my day. I used to, you know.
Oh, no, that's how you have to audition.
Right.
You have to audition like that. Mm-hmm. You have to go in that room, sign that paper, whatever time you got there, read, and then go to lunch or some shit like that. Don't right. think about it for the rest of the day. Like,
right. sure.
you will drive yourself sure. crazy.
Come on.
Once I audition, I throw the sides away. I don't take the sides. Everything's gone.
Nice.
I delete all of the messages from my email, from my agent.
What?
I don't give a fuck about
Damn.
It anymore until I get the phone call. Like, hey, you got a call back.
Well, when I was a young actor, when I first came to Hollywood, and I did that process, anytime the phone rang, hello, what's up, girl?
You drive yourself crazy.
Hey, hello. What up, nigga?
I audition, I leave the room, I forgot who you were.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, to have that, to do it, man, is beautiful. I don't have a problem saying this. I don't know if you have a problem saying this. Is there a couple parts you didn't get that you got close to, and you're like, damn, I could have been for that part?
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. What could we see you in? What could you almost have gotten? What could we see you in?
What was I?
Mine. I can name a couple of mine and shit. Jackie Brown, the Chris Tucker part, I almost had pretty much.
Oh
had.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they went with Chris. You know, big money takes.
See, it was a couple of pilots that I was. It was me and the other guy, and the other guy got it, but they didn't get picked up. So I was like,
that don't work. Yeah, that
but
don't work.
Some stuff I really. Oh, you know what?
What?
Dion Cole has a show that he's doing. Uh-huh. Have you seen it? You read the script for Dion's?
It's like a drama, like drama comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I really wanted that part. It came out of me and one other guy. He got it.
Really?
But I think. And you know, I could be bugging the fuck out, but I think it was like I think it was like we need. If Dion's gonna be the star, we can't have Tony rocking it as the second part because that's like two stars.
Right. Sure.
So we had, and then when I saw the cast, it was like a bunch of people I never saw before,
right.
and Dion, and I'm like, that
makes sense
because Tony Rock would be like, oh wait, who's number one on the call sheet?
Right. You know what I'm saying? No.
I could be wrong. Maybe y'all gonna be like, this nigga got an ego on him.
That makes sense.
That made sense to me.
Like, I've heard it done before. So I'm not saying it's happened this time, but it's been done before. You know, before.
But yeah, I really wanted that part. I really read the script. It was really good. I can't wait to watch it when it comes on BET.
Right. I heard it was good.
The script was fire.
Really?
Fire.
And it's
shout out to Dion, man. That's gonna be a very big show for you.
And there's a couple like 10 episodes.
It's episodic, yeah.
Episodic.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
It's gonna be big. It's gonna be big.
I can see you on some shit though, man.
I got some shit coming.
Yeah,
I got a game show that's about to go.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's cooking shows are big.
Right. Yeah.
And game shows are big. We put them together, boom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got meetings.
Do you cook?
I should cook more. I think I'm gonna start like taking some cooking classes and get a cookbook and just sit in the kitchen and try to figure it out.
Right.
Like,
something to
do in my downtime.
I cook. Women love cook.
Yeah.
Women love.
I ain't about women love funny too. So I'm like, I got this.
Right. Okay. I get that.
I'll put a pizza in the oven, but bitch, I'm making
hell no.
Yeah, so. Not bitch, but
right. I made you say yeah. But now women, I didn't realize how much women love to eat, man. God damn, them days of dainty salads are over.
Oh no,
fuck that.
No, if you prepared it, if you can cook, and they can eat in a good meal.
Right. Oh, they on the get down.
Yeah.
You'd be
funny, and you could cook, bro. That's you a superhero.
Damn.
Yeah.
I love it. One thing I liked about your page. I went to your page and I didn't realize it. You know, you're a doting dad, man. That's kind of cool, man.
God.
You really, I mean, you could. Now, you have two kids now?
I have one.
I want one.
I have my niece, when my sister had her baby, I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. So I was so hands-on with the baby, everybody thought it was my daughter, but it's my niece.
Okay.
So my son is, it'll be 3 in May.
Yeah, I mean, if you go on your timeline, it's all you and your son.
Yeah.
Is there a... Again, I don't know about other rocks in the family, but is that something that's normal, or you just feel like, man, I missed out on something?
Thank you for your question.
Okay.
So, I got a lot of friends back home,
mm-hmm.
right, that had children before they were ready to be fathers.
Okay.
So, I got friends that have kids, they're not parents.
Ooh. Well, yeah.
And I always said to myself, I'm not going to be a guy that has a kid. I'm going to be a parent. I seen them go through it with baby mamas. I seen them go through it with the courts. I seen them, you know, struggle to try to still work and do the thing they was trying to do, rap or play ball or whatever, and be there for this child. And I was like, I don't want that for me, man. I'm going to wait. So when my baby came, it was like, yes, I got money.
Right.
You know who I am.
Well, that helps.
I got a house.
Money. Yeah,
I got a couple of cars.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Right. There's no reason why you shouldn't be a good father.
Yeah.
Right.
And my pops was the most incredible father ever. So
nice.
If I could just be a little bit of him, I'll be fine.
Well, singlish dad. So you spend a lot of time with your child by yourself and say, was it good? Let's just do that. Well, and I even commend that more because it's different ones. Family, you know, everybody, mother, wife, the house. Yeah. I get that.
Nah, my brothers, we had the best dad ever. So my brothers are all super fathers. My sister's an incredible mother. And we learn from the best.
Right. Is there anything you'd want your kid to be?
I want him to be whatever he wants to be, but be knowledgeable about whatever it is you're going into and be ready to put whatever work is necessary in that thing to be successful. Mm. Don't just want to do it because it looks good to you on TV or your friend's doing it and it looks good and profitable. Do it because you love it and put all the work in that it requires to make that successful.
Man.
And I'm going to back you 100% anyway.
Do you feel pressure? But make sure, you know, you're there forever, you know, for the child.
Yeah, no, when you have a kid,
money
you
got, and stuff.
You got babies?
Yeah, I got babies.
Okay, so everybody that has a child knows that when you have a baby, you look at the whole world different.
Okay.
You literally want to fix the world because now you're like, okay,
my child's in
I was living in it, but I was maneuvering. I was figuring it out. But my baby's going to live in this. So I got to fix the whole world because when I leave, he's going to have this fucked up world to live in. So I got to do whatever I can to fix as much of it as I can before I go. So he don't have to struggle.
Right. That's a pressure I'm talking about. To make sure you stay at a certain level.
So to answer your question, a lot of pressure.
Nice.
A lot of pressure. Financially, make sure he has the right education. Right. Make sure he has the right friend group and peers. And you know, make sure my family's going to be there for him if I'm going. You know.
Are we one and done?
My dad said have as many kids as you can afford. So.
Well, nigga, you're doing well, homie.
So we'll see.
The nuts should be busting, nigga. Shit.
Shoot the club up.
But be careful, brother, out in these streets, because I love my children, but I had two, you know.
Yeah, see, there ain't much left in the streets, bro.
Yeah.
Slim pickings in the streets.
Yeah, but they find a way, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
I didn't think I could, but guess what? Really?
That's very true.
Yeah, I'll see you in court. One time somebody gave me papers. I'm like, oh, hell no. Yeah,
really?
I was trying to avoid that shit my whole life. Yeah, yeah. Well, I've avoided now with surgery for $535 10 years ago. Okay? That ain't happening no more.
Watch that girl. It's a miracle.
Okay, bitch. We're going to court for real. Shit.
You're going to be on Maury, yo. I would love to see you on Maury.
Hell no. And one time they told me 99.999%, you know, you can't have kids.
Right.
And someone hit me with the, I'm pregnant. And I was like, God, if you on that bullshit, that 0.0000.1, I will. But then they called back and they're like, no, it ain't yours. And I was like, oh.
Nice.
Oh, well, I was scared.
Well, I mean, nice, yes.
Yeah,
nice.
No, nice. Well, damn, it wasn't me.
Okay.
It wasn't me, so that's all I care about. All right, we do a thing on this thing called IG creeping on my show.
Okay? IG creeping?
IG creepy.
IG creepy.
Creeping.
Creeping, okay.
I mean, we creep on your IG page.
Okay, let's go.
My crew and cast, you know, we find
some pictures. Oh, y'all gonna pull up shit from my IG page?
Well, come on now, that's what we do. We wanna see what you was thinking. Well, that's what you think. Okay, we'll find out.
Let's go.
All right, let's go with the first picture. Now, that's what we talking about, your son. Now, that's dope as hell
right
there.
Okay, so this right here, I did the Chicago Improv.
Okay.
I took Charleston, my son's name is Charleston. I took Charleston with me to Chicago that weekend. He lost his mind. Shows were sold out. He sat in the back with his uncle and watched me. And my uncle took pictures of him watching me. And you could see it in his face. You could see it. You could see the seed.
Okay.
You could see, like I said, I saw my uncle's like, when he showed me the pictures, I saw the seed like, wow, like Dada's really up there.
Right.
And then at the end of the show every night, I would let him come out and say goodnight, everybody.
Nice.
And look at the smile on his face.
Right.
I saw the seed planted that night.
So the seed of what? Maybe being
the
a comedian?
The seed of maybe stand-up, yes.
Wow, yes. Really? So he understands what you're doing pretty much?
He came out and said goodnight, everybody, and I said, say peace. He was like, peace. And that smile, I was like, I got to capture
it. I love it. How old is he?
He'll be 3 in May.
Will be 3. So he's 2. Wow.
He's 2 years, 2 and 10 months.
You got the boy dressed in fresh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, we stay rugged. We stay Brooklyn.
Okay, then ain't no Walmart on him, but that's what I'm...
New Year's Eve,
God
baby.
Damn, boy.
The green is for the money. The gold is for the honey.
I ain't seen you in a suit before, brother.
Yeah, that's New Year's Eve. We did the Ontario Improv for New Year's Eve. Myself, Trey Elliott, Joe Fox.
That's
we always have a theme for New Year's Eve, and this year's theme was fedoras.
I'm mad at you because you had the socks to match, nigga.
Yeah, bro.
You give a damn right there. Ooh, look at you, boy. Acting like you're not looking at the camera. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's a fly gear right there. All right, let's go to the next picture. We'll see what we're looking at. That's the one we were talking about. That's your crew.
That's the year before Kansas City New Year's, and the theme was like, let's just get fresh to death.
Okay, I know Joe Fox. Shout out to Joe Fox. I love Joe Fox, man. That's my man.
Trey Elliott, right there. Purple.
Okay.
Wavy McGuire with the beard.
My man
from Brooklyn. That's my brother from Brooklyn.
Okay.
My man Phil from Denver.
Okay.
Phil is the fixer. If there's a problem with anything going on during the show, after the show, at the show, after party, Phil gonna fix
it. Nice. So I know you do the stand-up, and so does Joe Fox.
Yes.
Okay. The rest of the guys are just facilitating.
No, Trey Elliott's a comedian.
Oh, okay, Trey Elliott.
Wavy just started. Wavy's like a new guy.
Wavy does comedy too?
Yeah, He's in New York.
So this is a show we see when you go on tour sometimes? This is
the show you see is me and one of either Joe or Trey. So okay. I do a two-man show.
Okay, nice.
So they do the open, I do the closing. So it'll be Joe Fox for a half hour, Tony for an hour. Trey Elliott for a half hour, Tony for an hour show. Beautiful. So they get the money for featuring, they get the money for hosting. And they get a little extra time. So my guys get, you know, the road work, they get the stage time, and they get the money.
That's what I'm talking about, man. All right, see what we got. What number? That's what I'm talking about. One that goes to me. Man, to me.
Absolutely.
I always say on my social media page, man, he's way underrated. When you say top 10, you know, you can say even top 10 black comedian. Sometimes he don't fall into it. I'm like, are you crazy?
Little known fact. My brother said when he started out in New York, Damon was the guy that showed him how to do it.
I can see that.
Yo, this was...
come on.
This was... the show in Hollywood. They used to have this outdoor show in Hollywood, like right coming out of the pandemic. It was an outdoor show.
I heard about it. Parking lot?
Yeah, and it's circle stage.
Right, okay, I heard about
that. And Damon came through one night, and I was like, you can't see it in my face, but I'm fanning the fuck
out. Come on, why not?
I was like, hey man, you mind if we get it? He was like, come on, rock. And he went, we were tag team. The show was tag team, so you go up, you bring the next comic up. And Damon went up before me. And his intro, I wish I would've recorded it. He was like, this young man,
oh, for you.
Nice. I seen him start out. I seen him pave his own way. He's his own man. Like, it was like, dude, I can't even follow my own fucking intro.
No, no. Wow, that's funny. Yeah, like,
he's great. Damon is.
I saw him in New Orleans at a big comedy festival, and I asked for a picture for him, and he took it for me. And I've always said he's Damon one of the dopest stand-up comedy. The special he did, that half-hour special one, remember?
Damon's catalog is undeniable. He did the specials. Mm-hmm. He did the sitcoms.
Come on now.
He did the sketch comedy.
Right.
Come on. He did the movies.
Come on now.
Come on. Damon's, I don't know if he's underrated, not in the Rock household.
I know that's right.
He's the man.
No, he's the fucking man right there. Yeah, no, like I said, I put on my page sometimes, one of the most underrated comics.
I get a lot
of love that people say they feel that too, but I just feel like, you know, he should be talked about. You know, maybe one day, unfortunately, if he passes.
He do it the right way. So he get in, do his little thing, get out, disappear for a little bit.
They got a hot show.
Chill.
He had a hot TV show. He stopped.
Did it. Look, disappear. Go sit in some hot water and some white sand somewhere. Chill. Come back. All right, let's do another one.
There it is right there. No. So one of the GOATs. Definitely one of the GOATs. Absolutely. All right, let me put you. So this was, because I know the barber back there. Okay, that's our barber. Well, not my barber, but your barber. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he's your barber.
Yeah.
Your
barber? No, not my barber. That's my man. That's my man.
Yeah, G.
So little known fact, when I was doing the show, All of Us, I would always sneak my boys in the scenes.
That's dope.
If I knew where we were recording, where the camera was facing. I would always have a friend stand in the shot so they get a check. And this particular show, I told G, yo, G, stay right here and get in this shot. So I had to stand there and listen to him. Dwayne is talking to a chick, like professing his love.
Right.
And I'm standing there and I'm like, yo, G, stand right here.
Right.
If they don't say nothing, just they'll start recording and you'll be in the scene.
Right.
And when they shot it, boom.
Man, it's so much like me. I got friends, I did movies. I said,
I do that. Every movie, TV show, you've always seen one of my friends in it. You just didn't know it was my boy.
There you go.
My dudes that fly out sometimes, like, I'm coming to LA this weekend, jump in the scene.
Sure.
I get my guy. I get my guys' checks. Yeah.
I respect that. Let me get another one. Now, this is a hell of a lineup right here. Shout out to Ruben Paul back there with the white shirt on.
Yeah.
Where was this at?
This was at the Laugh Factory. Ruben Paul does a show every Tuesday night.
Ruby Tuesdays. Ruby Tuesdays.
And DL was the headliner that night. Lunell showed up. I was in the building. It was, I think we upstairs in the factory.
Is upstairs? Yeah. I don't know where that section. But no, that's a hell of a line right there, man. That's a hell of a line. I love it. Myra J.
Sorry, I left you out.
You know something I like too. But again, your brother's on another level, but you're in with us.
Ruben's my brother. Ruben's my brother, and DL's the big homie.
I mean, yeah, you're always around the, you know, comics on a lot of different levels. You're still in that. You know what I'm saying? I respect that too.
Because I think it's because they know I did it the right way.
Yeah.
So if I was the guy that just got passed in, like my brother just said, put him in.
Right.
I wouldn't be in this picture. I wouldn't have credibility with them.
That's a real.
So in this picture, you could go, yo, who's your favorite? And I'll be in the argument.
Right.
You won't go, he just got passed. They just let him get it. No, I get credibility. You might go, yo, Tony's my favorite comic in that picture.
I respect that.
And if I'm not, I'm gonna try to be.
I know that's right. Got another picture? We got one more. Oh, that's it. All right. So what we do real quick to get you out of here? I do a thing called. We got kind of games and shit. I'm all ignorant ass. I'm niggas.
What is this, longevity?
Longevity.
Get it off your chest.
You know what I want to do to you? Do what you fuck did. I do a little other thing, and I'm going to knock this out real quick. Where is it? Here's your. I love this thing. Because I think you're going to give me some good answers. Good thing. I do a real quick thing called hoish or broish.
Okay.
Okay? So hoish or broish.
It's for hoes or for bros?
No. It's for a dude 25 and older.
Okay.
That's some ho shit he doing or some bro shit?
Okay, so is there a definition of what whole shit is? Like,
well, what you feel like? Okay, that's whole shit you're doing, nigga. That's holy shit. But here it is. You only got 3 seconds to answer. You can't be sitting there. Let me think, my boy.
Okay, go.
What is your initial feeling when you hear it?
Whole shit or bro shit?
For a grown, 25 and older, man. Okay, go. 18, 19 year old. All right, ready?
So, go damn, Rooker. I can't even say what there's like extenuating circumstances behind it.
Nah, you can't go.
Okay, but
you can say what, but you can't say, well, if I.
Okay, so just yes or no.
Bro type shit.
Go.
First thing, split toe sandals.
Ho-ish.
Damn, really? No, damn. Real niggas don't wear split toes?
Hell no.
Oh, come on, man.
Son, I'm Timberlands in sand. I'm Tim's at the beach.
Okay.
I'm that dude. Shorts, okay. Wife beater, Tim's at the beach.
Okay, all right, okay, okay, we got that. New York shit right there. All right, you and your girl dressing alike.
Ho.
Ho shit.
Ho.
Damn, she can't have the same jean jacket. You got jean.
Ho
shit right there. Ho shit. Oh, shit. All right. Here, get another one real quick. Tattoo behind the ear.
Whole.
A whole shit too?
Because I'm no tattoos. I don't have any tattoos.
Right. Well, I don't mean nothing. But the arm ain't a whole shit.
I don't have any tattoos, bro.
All right. And when it's the dominating color, the dominating thing on you, men wearing pink.
Oh, that's bro shit.
Bro shit?
Yeah, you can be cool. You'll be cool, motherfucker.
Pink?
You can finesse anything, man. You can finesse some color. Color's attractive. Don't get it twisted. Color's a conversation starter.
Is that what it is?
I like that pink. Come here, baby.
Okay.
Come here.
I like them split toe sandals, boo boo.
Nah.
No. He said, hell no with that. All right. Here we go. I don't know if you know what these are, but Chelsea boots. You know, the short boots. You know, niggas be wearing, you know, the short boots.
Like Uggs?
Nah, boots. They leather, but they're short. You know, back in like the Temptations wore them and shit. Niggas wear them now. You know, tight jeans, and they got they come up here, and they boots.
Chelsea,
you never heard Chelsea boots before?
No.
Damn, somebody Google Chelsea boots and shit. We get back to that. That damn Chelsea. I'm gonna show you Chelsea boots.
Boots everybody was wearing a couple years ago. Everybody had like a damn beige sweater on and those beige suede boots.
There you go. There. Okay. Yeah.
Wait, pull it up. Let me see. Is that what I'm thinking about?
You might be. Yeah, you right with it. Yeah. You know.
Because I think I had the picture of the suit on. I had on. Nah, yo. Nah.
Huh?
Nah.
What?
No, I'm not wearing those. That's ho-ish.
Right there.
I'm not wearing those.
That's it,
I'm not wearing those, no.
That's ho shit.
You said I had 3 seconds to answer.
Right. I mean, God damn, nigga.
Nah, I'm not wearing those, though.
Man, I got to throw my toupee away. Nigga, shit, motherfucker. Okay, hold on. One more. All right, I'm going to see what you did on this. Okay. Charm bracelets.
Ho.
Damn, Eddie Murphy, we got charm bracelets. Come on, dude.
Wait, so.
Oh, wait.
But always, is it like iced out with like, no. Wait, is this considered a charm bracelet?
No, hell no. It's sitting the dangles, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, dangling? No, yeah. No, dangling.
You can't dangle?
No dangle. Nigga, nah, no dangling, son. Yo, son, you got it dangling, son.
Can't dangle.
Yo, this your man, this nigga's dangling, yo.
Come on, man, let the
yo.
The charm, nigga. Yo,
my man right here dangling. Like, nah, man. You can't even say that in the street. Some girl, I like your dangle.
Right, but hold on, I got.
And then you know what happened when you do that shit in front of chicks? That become your nickname.
Ooh, dangler.
So now a week later, it's like,
Dick Dangler.
Dangle.
I'm Dick Dangler.
Nah.
I'm Dick Dangler.
Hey, Dangle.
Right, Dick Dangler. My shit dangles.
You didn't say dicks, you said charm bracelet.
Right. Well, all my things. But hold on, my ex-wife bought me one. She had charms on from like a Taurus, a boxing glove, face, you know.
That's what my question was, but you said.
But still a charm bracelet, yeah.
So if it's like your kid's birthday or some shit like
that. It's still jank. You walking down the street, you don't know what it is, nigga. When you see a nigga, I'm like, let me find out what it is first.
So there's extenuating circumstances, but as of right now, ho-ish.
And ho-ish. All right. Last one.
What's the last one, Dangle?
Hell no. Okay, here's the last one. Not controlling your woman in the public when she's doing an outburst.
Ho.
But she might have something to say, like, y'all ain't teaching us right. Where's our food? It's been 20 minutes. And nigga just sit there.
That's what I'm there for.
Oh.
That's what I'm there for.
Really?
You should never come out of character. That's what I'm there for.
Okay. Some whole shit right there.
That's whole shit.
Damn. Her boyfriend be sitting down quiet when she up there loud. So that's how she be getting down. Fuck that. All right. All right, cool. I want to do that part. You funny, nigga, with that. All right, we do it real quick. We do
he's like, I'm dangling?
Yeah, okay.
What is this? Okay,
spin the wheel.
Go face. Okay.
So hold on. A couple of things we're land on. You might have to tell us how you lost your virginity. If you glance on that. What you would eliminate, teeth, face, or booty. It gotta be a girl from a female that you can live without. Her teeth being fucked up, you can't fix them, or she ain't got no ass, or she ain't got no, her face is ugly. So pick one of them you can live without. Okay, that's one. Hold on, I ain't done. No, it's a couple of them, man. Yeah, just for, so
who
you know
you
what they
change places with and why?
And why? Yep. A celebrity crush call. We do a thing. Like, if it lands on that, it means you got to pick up the phone, your phone. You got to say who it is, and you got a minute to say, you know,
Lotto.
Okay,
what's
Lotto,
up, girl.
Right. How would you mack on her to try to
what's
get to
up,
you?
What's up, Lotto?
All right, that's real quick. Who you play? The biggest lie you ever told? You know what I'm saying? You can tell anyone the story you just told me.
Okay.
Repeat those, motherfuckers, if you want to. Not fucking with you. Some of you get off your chest. Or a big secret you never told nobody before. So give him a, let's give him a drum roll.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn. Spin that motherfucker like a New Yorker. Spin it.
Wait, I don't knock your cup over.
Oh, okay. Okay, come on. Here we go. Here we go. Ah. Where's the phone?
Oh, that's not.
Lost your virginity. So
not,
hold on.
That's not a big deal.
Well, we don't know the story. So here you go. You're a director. You're a writer. Paint the picture. Paint the picture for us. We get quiet. We're going to be listening. How did it happen? What day? How was it? Who was it? What was the situation? You got a minute. You got a minute to 2 minutes to tell us about it.
All right. So I was still living at home with my parents.
Damn. Okay.
Every year, my family has a rock family dinner to honor my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you at this time?
I was 18.
Damn, you're an old nigga.
Yeah, I was late bloomer. Okay. I was late bloomer. So I was in high school. I played sports in high school. Everybody thought I was fucking the chicks that liked me.
Okay.
And every time I said, no, I didn't hit, they was like, oh, nigga, you lying.
Right, right.
I was like, no, I didn't. So they thought I was just fucking and not talking, but I wasn't fucking.
Okay, you're 18 years old.
So, yeah, we had the rock family dinner that night. It was in honor of my grandmother. Mm. Everybody's at my house getting dressed, getting ready to go. And my girl shows up and she's looking like really, really good. And I'm just like, damn, maybe we shouldn't go. And then my mother's like, we getting in the car? And I'm like, well, she's still getting her, she's got to do her hair or whatever, so we'll just meet y'all there. And when everybody left, we realized we had the whole house to ourselves. So we was just like, yo, should we just stay? And we stayed, and she was like, you ready? And I'm like, I'm ready. And first time, boom.
How long were y'all dating?
Went raw. I do remember that. I went raw.
Of course.
I bust in her.
Of course, I'm supposed to.
And didn't even think about that shit until like the next morning. Like, yo, I just straight up went raw.
Right,
like,
come on, man.
And then I thought like, Lord, please don't let me have a child the first time I had sex.
Right.
Like, please don't let me do that. And then, like, woke up in the middle of the night. We did it again.
Right.
Woke up the next morning. I was in my room. I remember my brother came in the room. My brother's room was behind my room. So the front of our house was where my bedroom was.
Right.
So if you're in the front of our house, my bedroom was right there. My brother's room was behind that. And he walked in the room and went to look out the window and was, like, yelling to some people, like, yo, yo, what y'all doing there, yo? And she was in the room still. So I, like, rolled up, pushed up against the wall, like, man, like this. So he like, yo, what up? I'm like, yo, what's good, man? And he was like, what you doing? I'm like, yo, get out my room, bro. And he looked like,
okay,
and left the room.
Right.
And since we was up, we did it again.
God damn,
and
homie.
And then I had to sneak her out the house because my mother was home.
You was a king of the raw dogger.
Yeah, I was raw. I
went hell raw. No. Yeah. How long was y'all dating before that happened?
Maybe 3 months.
Oh, you're a nice guy. You're a real nice guy. Yeah. I get 3 days, mama.
Not now, I'm a different mother. Right. Animal, but, you know,
he said now, right?
Trying not to fuck up the pussies.
So. Right, right. Hell no. Did you know what you were doing when you first popped off? I mean,
absolutely not. Nobody knows what they're doing.
He's pushing any button.
If you knew what you was doing, you ever started fucking, then you were lying you fucked really late, like later than me.
Right. You know, first time I did it, a girl had a lot of hair. I was 14. She was like 13. Well, 15 if she was 14. But she had hair down there. I thought you had hair. You had big vagina. I didn't know. I thought all that was vagina and shit. You know, I saw the hair and shit.
So you had it in the hair.
I was pushing the hair. I was like, what the fuck? It's too tight, man. This ain't working. It's bending and shit. You know what I'm saying? And then she had to grab the motherfucker and put it down a little. I'm like, oh, okay. And my boys told me, first time you bust, it's going to like mayonnaise. I was like, oh, I don't like mayonnaise. To this day, I don't eat mayonnaise and shit.
You looked at it?
Well, they told me if you pull out and bust, you know, jerk off, whatever. First time you skeet, nigga, it's going to like mayonnaise and shit. And I was like, oh, I don't like mayonnaise.
The second chick I fucked, I had more experience by this time than she did. And I tried to hit it from the back, and I like turned over. She's like, "Don't put it in my butt!"
Right.
And I was
right.
"Nah, it ain't. It's it's gonna go in." And
right.
She was like, "Oh shit!" Don't yell that shit too. I'm like, "Shh." Yeah. I was at home still.
I had a show one time. I said, "Why don't you put it in my butt?"
I'm like,
huh?
Wow.
I said, "All right, fuck it."
I had a Puerto Rican girlfriend one time.
Right. I did.
I'm having sex with her, and it's crazy, incredibly wet.
Right. Oh, cool.
And I'm just like, what? And I stop and turn the light on, and there's blood everywhere.
Wow.
And she's like, I'm sorry, Poppy. I didn't want to not have sex because I'm on my period. So just put it in my butt. And I'm like, all right, just
fuck it. Yeah, go, why go, my go, ass? Go. Yeah. When I was in the butt, I was thinking about
it. You could have said that from the beginning.
Right, hell yeah, we could have butt off.
Avoiding fucking, you know.
with this girl, I was thinking, I'm going to tell you, I was scared. I was having sex with her, you know, in the butt. Well, she had a nice booty, too. She took it, too. I was kind of like, bitch, damn, ain't no, it was like, man. I said, I'm about to come. And I used to be scared to get a girl pregnant. I used to pull out, you know, and pull out gang. I was like, I ain't got to pull out. I ain't going to get ready. Scott, skeet, skeet, Scott, skeet.
Come on, I was younger now. You know, it wasn't what it was. Yo, what would y'all give it up for Mr. Tony Rock real quick? But hold on. I got to give you, man, I don't know what other motherfucking podcasts do, but we give you a little something, something, and a little swag bag. Look at all this
appreciate
stuff. You know,
from appreciate
my,
it.
Yeah, check out
appreciate
some of my stuff. I got you. You're going to be, you're official when you get a shirt, brother. My book, ooh, what that book say? My 100 homies
and phonies
of Hollywood. I knew a lot of celebrities. You could write a book like that.
Wait. The phonies in here too?
Like, and homies.
Oh, I heard you.
Look at the
about
cover.
It. I heard you.
Look at the cover one more time, sucker.
Hey, my brother's on.
Hey!
I heard you tell a story before about going out with somebody and you got off stage before you were supposed to and you never worked with that person again.
That sounds familiar.
You told that story. I told you I watched the show.
Right.
You were saying that you was opening the show for somebody and then you got off stage because you thought you were supposed to, and they was like, yo, you cut the show short, and you, they.
Oh,
they
Steve said, Harvey. That was
yeah,
Steve
never,
Harvey.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Never work again.
Steve Harvey. I was like, damn, homie, my bad. That's a bandana wipe. You can do whatever you want with it. It's a bandana of the show. Right. Then you got the good cloth official.
Oh!
Joint. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Hold on. I'll get your t-shirt. Fuck them Reese's cups. Nigga, that's a motherfucking official shirt. They got soft. You know what I'm saying? It's a medium. I don't know if you're built like that.
Some shit gonna sleep in your t-shirt.
I ain't mad at you, brother. It is. That'll work, man. Man, hey, look, brother.
I say panic room because you in the panic room.
Okay. Watch that butthole.
And I don't gotta cook. I don't gotta pull out if I put it in your butt.
Butthole. Okay. Watch out. But no, brother. I want to tell you, man. I appreciate it. I know we always walk by. We don't really speak.
You said that in the beginning of the show.
Yes.
I would like. Can I have the floor first?
Sure. Do your thing, bro.
That was the nature of our relationship. We would see each other at clubs, comedy clubs, or nightclubs. What up, boy? You good? All right, keep it moving.
Right.
It was never no interaction.
Right.
So there was never like no beef or nothing.
Sure.
So that was
cool.
But I was always like, yo, P.S., seem like a cool dude. Then when we saw each other at the fight and was talking that whole time, I was like, yo, this dude cool as shit.
Man. Yeah, man. Yeah. I get a lot of that after they meet me and shit. But first, they're like, oh, fuck him. But no. But look, I always admired you from a distance, bro.
Appreciate
I'm going to be 100,
man.
Brother.
Because
the way you did it, like you just said,
right.
You could have easily rolled in your brother's coattail. You did not do that.
Right.
And I respect it. I saw you grinding and I saw stuff you were doing. I'm like, and I love the East Coast swag. You didn't really fall for this Hollywood bullshit to me.
Yeah.
From the outside looking in, I was like, this dude is real. So I was really happy because sometimes I'm afraid to hit my friend, people I admire, and they give me the Hollywood shit.
Right.
Damn, I'm a fan of yours. Nigga. Shit, I'm not saying you gotta do my show, but the way you handle saying no bothers me. You know what I'm saying?
If you
can say no, but the way, don't Hollywood me, though. Damn, I'm like, man, I lost respect for you. So I got nervous. I'm like, I don't know how you roll. You know what I'm saying?
Bro,
and when I hit you up, you were so real. And people told me you was a real cat. I know Ruben. I know a couple people around you. And I was like, oh, man, Rock cool as fuck. I'm telling you, Rock cool as fuck. I said, all right, I'm going to try to reach out. And you was
appreciate
100
you,
with it, bro. So anytime, brother, you know, I'll speak to you much more now.
I'll let you know about the special when we edit it and have a screening or something like that. I'll let you know.
Let me know, brother, for real, y'all. Bet. Give it up. Mr. Tony Rock, y'all. Tony Rock, y'all.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Dawson, I love you.
Hey, give me your social media handles. I'll be right there for you.
Yo, Instagram, Tony_Rock, or Facebook and Twitter. It's real_Tony_Rock. And I do 20 questions Tuesdays, every Tuesday on Twitter. So you can ask me anything. What's up, y'all? This is Tony Rock, your favorite comic, and I survived Pierre's Panic Room. I found the key. I knew the code. I got the fuck out, y'all.
Turn me up a little bit.
If you like that show, like, subscribe, and comment below. You know, hit the notification bell. Hit the subscribe button, man. We want you around. Appreciate it.